You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
For the first time in 2026 with me in the studio, it is Friday. I know there was a Friday last week, but that was a pre-recorded program from years gone by. And so for 2026, let's all rejoice in a Friday. We are thankful. I'm thankful. This is my day off, and we're going to do our best to relax and enjoy it. Unfortunately, my college football team didn't make it this far, but I'll get over it eventually. Okay, I'm over it. It doesn't take that long. But my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, and we would like to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God. There was an interesting study article that I read. I read medical articles when I see something interesting, and whenever it starts talking about cancer, some sort of cancer cell treatment or cancer cell informational breakthrough, if it shows up in the mainstream news, I tend to read that. And I don't remember which article or which type of cancer specifically that this article was referring to, but whatever one it was, it said that they had noticed this, that cancer cells did not do well in a heavily oxygenated environment, but healthy cells did. And cancer cells thrived in an oxygen-deprived environment where healthy cells did not do well, where there was insufficient oxygen. And I shared yesterday on the program here that Jesus was God's evidence of the gift of inspiration of God breathing on us. We need in 2026, we need the Holy Spirit in our churches, because the Holy Spirit convicts people of their sins. We're not here to endorse sin. We're not here to approve sin or make light of sin. We are here to encourage people to live for the glory of God, and we need the Spirit of God in our church services. And so if you come to Merritt Assembly of God and the Spirit of God operates in the gifts, and most definitely if the Spirit of God operates in the fruit of the Spirit, we are not going to be apologizing for that. We're going to be encouraging it, because we don't need any more rogue cells thriving. We need healthy cells thriving and rogue cells coming into alignment with God's healthy purpose for their life. And so we are going to be praying and believing and practicing, living out a spirit-enriched environment, not just at church, but in our homes as well. So today I want to take you, by the way, if you do not have a church home, I'd like to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We're in the central part of Merritt Island. We're not far away from State Road 3 and 520. I talked to somebody on the island, and they were talking how far they drove, down into the heart of Melbourne, and I think that they live up in Titusville, if I remember what they said correctly, but they drove all that way down there to go to the church that they wanted to go to. And, you know, I can tell you, we might not be your neighborhood church, but we are not a church that's all that far removed from you. You can get to Merit Assembly of God from anywhere in Brevard County, because I've been almost everywhere in Brevard County, and you can get to Merit Assembly of God from there. We would love to have you come and visit, be a part of our services. And we have church at 10:30, Sunday school at 9:30. And if you do come, please introduce yourself. It would be a thrill for me to meet you, to be able to pray God's blessing and his direction and his presence on your life. And I like to do that by name. So let me take you to this fourth point that I shared at Christmas time. And I want to read to you today from John chapter 1, verse number 14. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This is what we call the gift of incarnation. Jesus was God in the flesh. And he wasn't just coming and hiding in the corner someplace. He was actually living, to where when people saw him, they said, "Isn't that Mary and Joseph's son? Isn't that the carpenter's son? Where did he get all that knowledge?" He was a God that they knew. His ministry was vastly different than people who talked about theory, about their interpretation of the Bible. Instead, Jesus came and he cherished his relationship with the Father. He desired and was pleased to do the will of the Father. You know, where we try and work up the courage to say yes to God, Jesus was thrilled to do the will of the Father. No matter how difficult or how challenging, he wanted people to know that Christianity is not just a different philosophy. It's not just different words on a page, but it's literally experiencing God in a personal and tangible way. The Word made flesh. And he wants his presence known in my life. And he wants his presence known in your life. I believe that we need to quit apologizing for being a child of God. I don't want to be apologizing for my sins being forgiven. I want to hold that up as a testimony to what God does. I tell you that I don't believe society struggles too much. I mean, they do to some extent. I mean, Jesus was made flesh and they said, "We've got to kill this guy and get him out of here. He's, you know, messing everything up." He was an interruption, not just to Herod. He was an interruption to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was an interruption to the Romans. He the tax collectors and the scribes. He did not come to leave the status quo. He came to reconcile to the Father. By the way, I do like to remind people that the problem with sin is it is incompatible with the nature of God. It's offensive to him. It's described as an abomination. And God was the offended party. And the person who has been wronged, the entity, the individual that has been wronged, is the one who sets the terms for how that wrong is going to be corrected or satisfied. And with God, there are two possibilities. The one is you reject his offer, and then he will give you the wages of that sin, and the wages of sin is death, separation from God. So that's one possibility. That's one option that's out there. But God did not want that to be the only option out there. He made forgiveness and reconciliation possible, and that only came through Jesus coming to the manger, living a sinless life, going to the cross and shedding sinless blood, and being raised again on the third day and ascending to the right hand of the Father. Jesus incarnate is not just a story. It's the fulfillment of God's plan of redemption. And so it was very important. You know, Herod, like I mentioned on Monday of this week, Herod saw the incarnation of the Messiah, the King of the Jews, as a threat. So he tried to eliminate the threat. Well, the devil still views the reality of Jesus living inside of us and making us a new creation in Christ Jesus. He still views that as a threat. It is not a threat to the kingdom of darkness as long as we just huddle inside our four walls, just as long as we sing our songs and hear the sermons. As long as it stays inside the house of God, there's really not much threat to the kingdom of darkness. But make no mistake about it, when Jesus came at this very spiritually and politically and economically dark time, he came as the light of the world, who did not come to happily coexist with the darkness, but instead he came to overpower it in such a demonstrative way that it was incomprehensible. It was so overwhelming that darkness could not understand it and could not overpower it. That's what happens when God is made flesh. When he becomes there becomes tangible evidence in our lives of what we believe. And so it is our responsibility as the church. I'm not just talking about our congregation. I'm talking about the church in Brevard County. It is our responsibility to flesh out the love of God, not flush out, but flesh out, to live with Jesus at the core of our being, so that he changes our heart, so that when we speak out of the abundance of our heart, we speak faith, we speak truth, we speak love. We not only talk it, we live it. We don't just live it in the church, but we live it in our homes, and we live it in good times, and we live it in challenging times. In 2025, we had the death of one of our family members, and we still believe in Jesus, the resurrection and life. Still believe in Jesus, the Lord, our healer. None of my core beliefs are negatively impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Instead, the experience of my life changes my reaction so that I can celebrate the goodness of God. My mother passed away after decades of health challenges years ago. I love my mother. Still one of the best cooks that I have ever had the pleasure of eating. the food that they've prepared. I mean, I didn't get to looking less than or a little bit more than skin and bones. Let's put it that way. I didn't get this way just because I didn't know how to eat. I mean, there was some good food that was prepared by my mother, and my wife is an excellent cook as well. And I just love less of it now than I used to, because my metabolism doesn't process things nearly as well. I used to be able to eat lots and lots of food and get up the next morning and lost weight, and now I smell food and I gain weight. Seasons, I talked about seasons before. When people see the church, when they see the body of Christ on display, when they see, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, when you have love one for another," when that is on display, it causes people to see it. They might take it for granted for a while, but eventually something's going to happen where they're going to say, "I've got a problem and I need to go and experience what God is doing in their life, because I need God to do something in my life." So we had our pastor and board Christmas party, and we had some fun. We ate well. My wife and I provided the food. My son-in-law Harley, that was here the other day, he's an excellent cook. I tease people, when I cook, my first goal is, "Lord, don't let anybody get sick." When he cooks because it's going to taste good. Him and my son both, you know how to get around a kitchen. My daughter-in-law, my daughters, my wife, they are all very good. I know how to boil water, I know how to make chili, and I know how to make a bowl of cereal. That's pretty much where the extent of my culinary experience goes. But we need to make sure that we are representing Jesus well. So I mentioned this. I was listening to some of the midday rebroadcasts of the program back in December, and I shared that during 2026, what I'm going to be preaching is about some of the traps that the enemy uses in real people's lives to set them up for failure. Some of those traps will surprise you. The reason I say that is because when the Holy Spirit caused that passage to come alive, I was like, "Oh, wow, where did that come from?" And I know people that is a trap for. It's not theory. It's real life. When we're talking about forgiveness, it's because we've experienced it. So we're going to be dedicating some babies in 2026. We're going to be baptizing some believers in 2026. We're praying that there will be souls that are saved, that people will have a true real life transformation, because they have come face to face with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he has taken up residence in their heart. It says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We're supposed to take Jesus home. We're supposed to take him with us wherever we go. My watch just activated and started giving me directions to my house. But it's not listening. It's not listening to everything we say. Don't worry about that. It's just doing that. Right. So Jesus is not a compartment that we open once a week and say, okay, go, you know, have your little hour of freedom in my life, and then we get to put him back in a box and lock him away in a room for until another convenient time comes to go to church. Jesus is supposed to be the core of our life. He's supposed to be the central focus of our thoughts. He's supposed to be the highest priority in our time. He is supposed to be a foundational covenant partner in our marriages. He is supposed to be the pinnacle authority in our families. There is supposed to be a structure of authority in a home that goes Jesus. And then if there's a marriage, there's supposed to be the priest of the family, the man, the priest of the family, not an inferior element to the woman, just a structural flow of authority where the woman is just as important and just as valuable as man, where they live out the heart of God the same way that Mary did, the same way that the Proverbs 31 woman did, that there is Jesus on display in the husband and Jesus on display in the wife, Jesus on display in the parents, so that the kids, when they hear about Jesus, they say, oh, I know him. He's the one that made mom so wonderful. He's the one that my dad was always talking to, that made a difference in my dad's life. The incarnation is not supposed to be an event as much as it is supposed to be a lifestyle where we behold his glory. Too many people display the dirty laundry and they don't highlight the glorious things of God. And I don't mean that God has dirty laundry. I mean, too many times we focus on the dirty laundry of life. And I tell you what I am. I'm the type of guy that I want to have the time set aside that I deal with my laundry. I get it cleaned. I get it dried. I get it folded. I get it put away. So that way it doesn't rob me of the enjoyable things that I may want to do because I say I've got to go do laundry. There are people who got different philosophies about that. Jesus was God made flesh in the manger. The incarnation is not just theory. It's supposed to be our lifestyle. Jesus impacted the heavens. He was glorified by the angels. He had an impact on the wise men, on the realms of government. He transformed the spiritual atmosphere because he was God made flesh. That's why when the angels showed up, they were acknowledging him, who he was. He wasn't just a baby. He was God made flesh, and he is still making a noticeable difference in people's lives today. There may be people listening that you use your mouth to declare that Jesus is Lord. So let me ask this question. Is there enough manifest evidence to support the claim? Josh McDowell wrote a book that he was an atheist that went to, he was an atheist lawyer that went to disprove that Jesus was the Christ. But when he encountered the evidence, it had the opposite effect on him. And then he wrote a sequel and it was more evidence that demands a verdict. In 2026, will we act, think, and speak differently than we have in the past, or will we speak like a believer because of Jesus? There should be genuine evidence in our lives that the grace of God has shown up. Here's what verse number 14 had to say. the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It is true that Jesus is the unique, only begotten Son of God. But he is also our spiritual big brother. You and I are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And it is our privilege to get to experience the same benefits of relationship with the Father that Jesus experienced. We can pray with him. We should aspire to fulfill righteousness in our life. We're thankful that when we fall short, he is still there to more than compensate for us, but let's still have the same goal, the same target, and that is not hurting, not violating the heart of God. That's what we want to do. And so as you and I look at it, we need to realize that we should be full of grace. That means the favor of God. Grace is very important in our lives. Grace is us experiencing something we don't deserve. Jesus, however, did deserve it. He is also known for living a life of truth. So what does Jesus made flesh, what would that look like in our life? What would it look like in your life? I tell you, it looks radically different. Living people act entirely different than people who are not alive. I know that sounds corny, but I put it in a spiritual sense like this. Believers in Jesus Christ should act noticeably different than people who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We should have different motives, where those that are not saved are looking to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, we should be desiring to please the heart of God. We should not be strangers. We shouldn't be strangers to God, and we shouldn't be strangers to his house. And so it's Friday. It's the second weekend of 2026, and I pray that you will join me in this coming year to say, God, I want to be Jesus' hands and Jesus' feet to Brevard County in this coming year. Use me to speak words of encouragement, words of life, words of truth, because our society desperately needs it. If there was a catastrophe that was ahead, you would do everything you could do to warn people before they got there. That's what fleshing out the gospel means for us. We let people see Jesus in us, so Jesus will be in them. See you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.